Unlike Rick and Company, this is the time of year when people actually want to become zombies, and there's no better place to do that than on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need for Halloween and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who taught Carol how to use a knife, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very special Walking Dead recap. We are back here on live on Sunday night, October 20th, 2013. And I'm here with my good friend and Walking Dead expert, Josh Wigler. How the hell are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Happy birthday, man.
Josh, thank you.
It's a special day. It's not just Walking Dead night. This is a big night.
Yes.
I'm honored to be spending it with you.
Good, good, good. Very fun episode of The Walking Dead to talk about. Looking forward to talking about everything that happened and trying to make some sense out of what is going on in this crazy prison.
Yeah, it's been a wild one. I thought this was a lot better than last week's, too. I thought they really stepped up their game this week.
Good. Yeah, a lot of exposition last week, a lot of setting everything up, but we got some more action this week, and so we'll talk about it all. Of course, this is a live conversation that we're having here on Sunday night, so we want to hear from you guys. I'm having a little issue with the chat room on robhasawebsite.com, but that shouldn't stop you guys from sending us your tweets. You can either send them to me directly or use hashtag RHAP. We've got Jessica Frey monitoring the chat room, monitoring Twitter. And then, of course, on YouTube, you can go ahead and check out our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Or if you're watching this video live, just click on it and go there and type your comments in, and we'll take them on your questions and comments later on in the show. All right, Josh.
All right.
So, our top story at this hour, maybe I'm hoping that we can sort of figure out what is the epidemic that's going on. I mean, I feel like we have all these data points here.
Right.
Things that are happening that we can discuss, but I don't know if the show has clearly defined what is happening and why.
I think that they are trying. I think they're trying to make it clear that it's a flu of some kind. That there's no modern medicine anymore. You're not going to your Duane Reade's to get your flu shots these days. And that's certainly what the doctor said, right? When they were going to that one body. I don't think it was Patrick. I think it was the guy who sleepwalks, and he diagnosed it as it's like an advanced flu. So I
who
think
was that guy, by the way? Who is this new doctor guy?
They're doing like the Nikki Paolo trick. They're just airdropping characters, and we're supposed to know who they are.
And was that guy even in the episode last week?
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, new doctor.
They talk about this guy, Dr. S, so I'm assuming he's Dr. S.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a new nickname for Herschel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know Herschel's last name. I thought that was a nickname for him.
No, he's Herschel Green. I don't think I've heard that one before. but you know, it's good. I mean, it seems like, you know, these guys, they needed a real bona fide doctor. It looks like they've got one.
I like that guy.
He was cool.
He was good, that guy. So we have all these other things going on. So we have, like, everything going on with the pigs.
Right.
And then is it, like, some sort of a red herring of who ate the pigs? Like, the problem that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around of, if there is a disease, if there is a sickness, then why isn't everybody getting sick? What did these two people in particular do that they got sick and nobody else is sick yet?
Right, it seems a little random. Though I think that they said something about... So the other guy who's dead at the episode, I think you're to assume that that's this David guy that they talk about when they're talking about who's coughing, who's got the sniffles, who looks like they're sick. And I think Karen or Daryl or somebody says he was at the barbecue yesterday. So it might be coming from the pigs.
The little
it's
money.
Definitely a possibility.
The pigs.
Yeah.
Who ate the pigs and who doesn't? I mean, it feels a little bit kind of like, did you ever read The Stand or see the movies?
Yeah, of course.
It's like, okay, all of our protagonists, they're all going to be immune from this sickness, and then it's going to be a lot of these people that are all dying off. Now, is there a connection between the sickness with the pigs and the rats also?
That I was very interested in. I couldn't tell if that was just Well, it certainly seems like there's somebody on the inside who's causing some trouble, right? You're getting that feeling.
Yeah, I think so. That the show started with somebody's got like a flashlight.
Right.
And somebody's like dangling the rats to the walkers.
Right.
Now, I don't understand what that does. Are they then letting the walker bite the rats and then letting the rats loosen the jail?
Maybe it's something like that. It's some sort of like old school germ warfare tactic. I don't know. I wasn't around during those days. But it also
old,
it seems like
the old rat germ.
Yeah, the old rat germ days. Those passed me by. But you know, I think also that may have been the spot of the fence that was getting weakened by the walkers later in the episode, right? So maybe whoever was doing that was trying to weaken the defenses too. It seems like somebody's trying to sabotage what's going on in the prison.
So you think that maybe what's going on is somebody's taking rats and then putting the rats like, oh, I want this rat zombie,
right.
Putting the rat like 2 inches on the other side of the fence, and then the zombies are all coming because they smell the rats, and then trying to go to that one spot.
And you've seen, you know, these zombies before in the past. Sometimes they do things. You know, they don't really know why they're doing what they're doing, but they see one walker doing something, and they start doing it, and then the whole army of them starts doing it. So I think that that could have been the catalyst. And, I mean, that was certainly a big point of the episode, was that fence weakening. So I could see that being what was going on.
My first thought was, with the whole thing with the rats, I thought that somebody was, like, making the zombies, like, bite the rat. And
right.
Then they were feeding the rats to the pigs. But the problem with that theory is that the boar that Rick found last week in the woods was sick.
Right.
So right. That might be the case.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing is very, very early days. I think that this is a story that's really going to be playing out over the early part of the season. So I think we're just at the really start of it.
Yeah, we were just really on the nose. Are they going for that this is some sort of a swine flu? Is that why we have to involve the pigs?
Yeah, maybe. It seems to be bugging these guys who've been eating pork, so I think that that's probably pretty close.
Should we stop eating pork?
No, definitely not. It's too delicious. We're fine.
Yeah.
Keep going. Birthday, Rob. Treat yourself.
If we stop eating pork, then we're letting the zombies...
We let the zombies win.
Yeah, we have to keep going. I'm sorry, pigs.
No good.
Very delicious. Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole thing with the rats. Now, who on the inside who could benefit from the people letting the zombies come in? Is it Carol? Is it Carol with her knife class? Because nobody would look better for having a knife class than Carol if the defenses to the prison went down.
You know what? If you had asked me that last week, I would have said you were reaching. You know, this week she's making it hard to defend her, is what I'll say. She was very all over the place this episode, so who knows? I doubt it, but Carol is not on top of her game these days.
She was really pushing that knife agenda with everybody, I felt
like.
Yeah,
it was a little creepy.
A little hawkish with the knives.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why. I mean, it's not like... Does the governor have a mole? Is that possible?
So I think that that might be what's going on. I think that, you know, we've established as of last week that their line of questioning for accepting new members isn't exactly super thorough. They ask you 2.5 questions to see if they're going to bring you into the prison. So they've been pretty happy to let new people in. There's really no sort of system of background checks that's in place to really make sure who some of these guys are and who they've seen on the road, who they met in the past. And it seems like it's a big crowd of people at the prison. It would not take too much work to slip an enemy soldier in there.
Okay, so, yeah, maybe there's no roster of who knows everybody, but we also had everybody used to be from Woodbury. So we have a lot of people who were the governor's guys who are
right
now in our midst, and maybe somebody is still a governor loyalist, and maybe that's why. But you would think that they probably also have a death wish, because
right,
letting the zombies into the prison would probably also be bad.
Unless they've got some escape strategy we haven't seen yet. You know, this could be this whole big elaborate thing that we barely know about. So I wouldn't count on that. But I think that there's a mole inside. There's rats inside, we know, and I think there's a mole as well.
Where there's rats, there's moles.
Yes, this is common knowledge.
This is common knowledge.
Yeah.
How about the plausibility of the whole, like, domino falling thing that happened with Patrick in the beginning of the episode. So
right.
We pick up where we left off, and you know, Tyrese is in bed with the late what was her
Karen.
Name?
Karen.
Karen. With the late great Karen.
Right.
And then she goes into the bathroom, and you figure that, oh, okay, Patrick's gonna get her there. No, that's not what happens.
Right.
But then Patrick wakes up, and then he walks into the first room that he sees, and then he bites a guy like right on the windpipe, I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty good accuracy, right? He was on a, you know, this kind of all hinged on not anybody else finding out that there was a zombie there. Because yeah. If anyone else found out, that would have been contained pretty fast. So that was a pretty lucky bite.
Yeah, and somehow this happened about 9 or 10 times the exact same way, where
right.
Nobody was, not one person made a peep that got killed by the zombies, and every other person that we've ever seen in the history of the show screams bloody murder when the zombies get them.
Right. I think this is one of those cases of don't pull on the string too hard, because I don't know how tight it is.
Are the zombies polite? Do they kill you in quieter ways during the nighttime hours?
Yeah, I think maybe they realize, you know, it's late, there's kids that are sleeping, they need to get their rest for knife class tomorrow, so as quietly as they could make it, you know, that's how they did it. I thought that was very sweet of them.
When Patrick starts killing that guy, so he bites the guy with the mustache and then starts killing him. So he's sitting there, and he's eating him.
Right.
And he's eating that guy. At what point does... Because the zombies don't eat each other, right?
No, they don't. So they just eat fresh meat.
At some point, the guy that Patrick kills no longer is a dead corpse that the zombie can eat, and he becomes a walker. At the
right.
point he becomes a walker, that's then it's no good for him to eat anymore? Like, I feel like there's got to be a really hard line in the, like, is he that guy good to eat for, like, 30 minutes, and then he's a walker, and he's no longer good to eat?
Right, well, it seemed like he had gotten some of his guts out, so it was fairly removed from the guy. He was kind of on the floor. He was, you know, a few feet away, just chewing on some lungs or something, whatever it was. It was pretty nasty. So I think at that point, he realized, okay, well, this fresh meal's probably done. And that's about the time when the guy started getting up. So I think, I think there's a little bit of a grace period there.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick is eating that one zombie's thing. Could the guy himself, like, get up and start sharing that piece of his own lung with Patrick?
I think that this in this case, you don't like your own brand. I think you want to go elsewhere.
I heard everybody likes their own brand.
Yeah, not in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
Not so much.
Yeah, and then Patrick... then he went off and, like, he was, like, the last one to come out. You would think that whole ruckus would then have brought more all of the zombies out of the cells, but some of them just, like, hung back and waited for everything to blow over.
Well, he was probably pretty bloated at that point. He'd been eating all night. He was, you know, a little sluggish, a little slow, you know, trying to catch some power naps in there, and then all this stuff started happening. He got in on the action.
I noticed that Rick claimed that, like, well, I saw some of the walkers. They didn't have any bite marks on them or anything like that. Does Rick do zombie autopsies normally?
No, I mean, I think we've seen that once or twice before. The season 2 premiere, him and Daryl are in the woods looking for Sophia. They find a walker and they cut him open and check his stomach to see if there's any fresh human in there or anything that could identify Sophia. So he's done it before. I guess he knows the anatomy pretty well by now.
He must know the anatomy very well.
Yeah.
very interesting with all of this stuff. We saw a meeting of the council tonight. Were you impressed with the council?
I don't know. It seems like this is a tougher issue than they've been dealing with lately. It seems like this is the kind of situation of, well, what kinds of choices do they really have? These people seem like, you know, they're getting very sick. There's no real sign of how to treat them. There's no real sign of how to prevent them from getting other people sick other than quarantining them. So they're faced with some hard choices right now. So I thought they did a decent job. But obviously their security needs a little work given the way the end of the episode happened.
So what do we end up thinking that the plan is from the council? Do they have a plan here? Like, it seems like a little willy-nilly of like, all right, just don't talk to this person. If you've been in here, just don't talk to anybody from the other group.
Right. I think right now it's a little bit of, you know, flying on the seat of their pants. Most of the episode ended up being about keeping that fence secure. So we kind of deviated away from everything that's going on with the illness. So we didn't get too much information on what their plans are going to be going forward. But I mean, I struggle to think of what these guys are going to do. This is a pretty bad situation.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody got a little lax with the fence duty. Like you would think that they could have put, they've got a lot of people on the roster here. They could have put at least some of the Woodbury people that we don't even know their names. They could have put them on fence duty for this episode.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they got caught with their pants down. They didn't expect all this stuff to be happening in D block, I guess is where it was happening. And so I think everyone was a little distracted. You shouldn't be too hard on them, Rob.
I'm going to be a little hard on them.
It was a tough day.
I'm going to Monday morning quarterback this a little bit. I feel like they probably need to. Fence duty is very important.
Yeah, it's not something that you want to slack on. You're right.
Right. So let me finish out fence duty question. So when they're on fence duty, does somebody then have to go to the other side of the fence and then clean up all of the dead zombies? Because I feel like you would imagine the dead zombies would all pile up near the fence, but I did not ever see anybody go and clean up all the dead zombies.
Yeah, I think you got to imagine that there's a cleanup patrol somewhere in there. Especially with this situation, I mean, it felt like, you know, that was a temporary fix. What happens when all the pigs gone? They just come right back to the fence, right?
Right. Like that feels like that bought them about like a half an hour.
Right. Right.
Plan.
Yeah, maybe they wanted to stick out there and kill some of those zombies while they were distracted. But I guess I don't know.
Yeah, what about the old plan of let's get a boombox and put it out in the middle of the forest?
Right, that worked last week, didn't it?
I think that works.
That worked all right.
Josh, where are all these new zombies coming from? It seems like all of a sudden, like, you know, 1,000 new zombies just showed up out of nowhere. Don't tell me it's because somebody put rats near the fence. There's got to be plenty of dead rats out there in the world.
Yeah, they do like themselves some rat burgers, but I'm not really sure. The prison, I think it's been established, it's near the prison in Woodbury. Between them is something called the Red Zone, which is this really bad cluster of walkers. So even though they're fortified, I think that they are really close to like a real hotbed of zombie action. So it kind of just keeps happening. It's a real big, heavy population of zombies where they are. So that would be my guess.
Was it like a city?
Yeah, I don't know. You just kind of get that information dropped in your lap in the last season. You don't really know. I mean, you see there were some military camps that were in the area. You know, obviously Woodbury was around. Maybe these are the original Woodbury people. Who knows?
I would also wonder, is this sickness killing a bunch of other people, and that's why there's all these new people that were alive and then all suddenly died, and then that's why they're coming to the prison?
Right, I think even Rick says, and actually you do see it thinking back on it, you see it in the last episode, in the premiere, that there was one walker who had blood coming down from his eyes and his nose and his mouth. He was kind of like pounding on the fence. So whatever's happening inside the prison has happened outside of the prison as well. So maybe that is where it's coming. Maybe this disease is starting to spread, and maybe the answer is going to be they're going to have to get out of the prison and go back on the move.
So, Josh, the other big question from this episode is the episode ends with Tyrese, and he comes out. You know, I got to say, Tyrese's ski cap annoys me a little bit.
Oh, you don't like the ski cap?
I don't know why he's got the Meg Griffin look going on. Cold in the prison? Why does he always have to have the ski cap on?
I don't know. It's fashion. There's few things left in this world that they can really call their own and you know, find some interest in. So, I you know... If he likes the skull cap, if it keeps him happy, you know, keep it on.
All right, so here comes Tyrese, and he's got flowers, and he comes out looking for Karen, and then he finds that their bodies have been dragged out and burned.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know whether they were burned alive or they died and then somebody burned the bodies, but
right.
What do we think? who would burn the bodies of these two people? Could this be our mole, or is this somebody from the council?
So, two things. One is, I think that they were killed before they were burned. Because in the cell, Tyree sees the bloodstains. And you see there's a bloodstain on the pillow, and then there's like it kind of tracks down onto the ground. So it looks like they were shot in the head before they got dragged out and burned alive. So that's one. Two is I wrote down a list of who seems to know about the infection. It was a fairly tight group of people that knew about people getting sick in D Block. And it's mostly main characters.
Okay.
So we can rock through this real quick. You ready?
Gimme.
So it's Rick knows, Daryl knows, Carol knows, Herschel knows, Sasha, Glenn, and Maggie know, Michonne knows, Carl knows, Tyrese obviously knows, and then there's two new characters that also know about it, which is Bob, the army medic from the last episode who was in the shopping mart, and Dr. S, that new guy from this episode. So when you look at that list, you know, there's two prime suspects, I would say. It's probably either Bob or Dr. S. They seem to know about this infection. One of those guys seems pretty shady to me already, and the other guy was the one who was quick to diagnose that this is some sort of flu outbreak. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of those two.
I've got one eye on Carol, too.
I know you do.
I'm going to keep one eye on Carol. So Bob only had one... He had a big episode last week, but he only had one line tonight where the Dr. S... said, like, well, you know, these things happen, and basically they said something about, like, well, if we're lucky, it's, and then he said, well, when have you ever known people to be lucky these days?
Right.
So he seems like he's a little bit of a negative Nancy already.
Yeah, there's something a little sour about that guy. You know, he's kind of a fun suck. And I would not buzz be surprised. Kill. Yeah, he's a little buzz bit of a buzzkill. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if he's up to no good.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody tweeted to me during the show tonight and said, Rob, you must... Oh, yeah, I got issues, man. He tweeted, you must be in hell right now with this Carl and Carol storyline. Yeah, so there's lots of Carl
and
Carol tonight. I didn't mind it so much. What did you think of the Carl storyline tonight? Ultimately, he gets his gun back from Rick.
Right. I didn't mind the Carl storyline
too
much.
Yeah, I thought Carl was okay tonight.
He was fine, you know, he was useful pretty quickly. He saved Michonne's life. I think he earned his gun back. You know, he told his dad the truth, which I thought was a good choice. You know, be honest with your dad, that's always nice. Carol, man, I don't know. I normally like Carol, but I'm drifting towards your side this week.
Well,
this is a bad week for Carol.
Let's finish up Carl first. The gun that Rick found last week, do we assume that that was the gun he took away from Carl, or do you still think that random gun last week?
I think still random gun last week.
Okay.
I think that was just a metaphor.
Okay. Do we think that Carl has now grown up enough that he can handle a gun? He's not going to be like a real psycho anymore?
He seems like he's got his life together a little bit more. He seems like he's a little chilled out. But, you know, even when he shot that zombie, he kind of had an emotional reaction to that. And the Carl we saw last season was kind of a stone-cold killer. So maybe he's turned the corner. I certainly hope so.
All right, well, let's talk about Carol tonight. Now,
yeah,
Carol had a lot to do tonight. So the first thing we saw Carol up to was during the zombie attack, she found the guy with the bald guy, and basically it looked like she was ready to amputate his arm.
Yeah.
Is Carol qualified to be amputating arms at this point? What has transpired since the end of the last season?
Well, between seasons 2 and 3, you find out that that she was training under Herschel to deliver Lori's baby if she had to. She was like the backup on that department. So maybe she's somewhat medically trained, but it's all going to be really rough stuff. It's not going to be anything that you wouldn't want to do this in your everyday life. It would be bad.
So the bald guy, and he doesn't have a name, that bald guy, right?
No, I think it was like Ryan or Ray or something. It really doesn't matter. He's dead. Yeah. He's long gone.
So anyway, it seemed like once she even saw the thing on his neck, though, it seemed like she still went along with the charade that she was going to amputate his arm.
I don't know. I think that she kind of... She must, I mean, at that point, there would have been no point. I think that she kind of realized, well, this guy's gone. I'm close with his kids. This is going to suck. That was the read I got from it.
Now, was it necessary for Carol to bring in the guy's kids to then have him kill the guy?
No. No. It was actually that was unnecessary. That was bad. I mean, that was so crazy. What was even worse was how she yelled at them afterwards. Like,
yeah.
like it was their fault that they couldn't nut up and kill their dad. I'm sorry. That must have been an easy thing for her to do back in her day. I don't know about that. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. I thought it was weird, like, how quickly, like, you go from, like, everybody is your roommates. Like, I think about this, like, you know, I've never been in prison yet. I kind of think about this scenario that they're all in. It feels a lot like my dorm when I first went away and living in college and everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like all of a sudden, like if all these people that I lived with turned to zombies, and I know it wasn't a zombie apocalypse when I was in Cayuga Hall,
right.
But like it felt like the people were very quickly to be like, oh my God, kill this person that was my next door neighbor, kill this person. Like it seems like very quickly that everybody's just like, well, let me step on the head.
That was the one, yeah, I had that exact thought with, like, I think it was Sasha, she just stomps on, you know, probably someone she's had pleasant conversations with in the past. You know, like a bullet to the brain is one thing, but yeah, it was a little dramatic.
How quickly when you become a zombie does the texture of your head go from like hard skull to eggshell?
It seems pretty quick. It seems, you know, fairly immediate. That's got to be like part of the process.
You're right. It's very fast, I think.
It's really quick.
Yeah. And for as brittle as a lot of these zombies are, they do seem very strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'd like to know a little more about the zombie anatomy because there's some dissonance here.
Like, for instance, the guy that Patrick ripped his stomach out, what happens now when he eats? Like, does he need intestines to be able to be a functioning zombie?
I think it just goes right through him. I think that he's got, you know, he's got the bottomless bowl. He's ready to go.
He can never be satiated.
No.
So Carol's working on these girls of like, yeah. Okay, remember, here's now let's take out the knife. Let's do it. Like
stab dad.
Yeah, stab your dad in the ear. So then she has everything going on at the council, has a little interaction with Daryl. Did you feel like we got any more clarity on the Carol and Daryl deadmance?
Not really. I think that kind of took a backseat this week, right? I mean, they didn't really have – their business was separate this week.
Okay. And so then we have more Carol with these girls and these two blonde girls. Do we know their names, the blonde girls?
They said them. I think one of them was Mika, and then the other was someone else. I didn't catch her name.
Now, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were not a watcher of the Big Brother, right?
No, I'm not a Big Brother fan.
Well, this season on the Big Brother,
yeah.
There was another blonde person on Big Brother who, famously on this season of Big Brother, in the second week, there was a guy named Nick.
Okay.
Who got voted out of the house, and it was a sneak attack. And when Nick got voted out of the house, she carried on this woman, Gina Marie from Staten Island, and went on a very famous tirade. They were like, how could you guys vote out Nick? All of you guys are a bunch of scrubs. You're a bunch of cockroaches. And it was basically almost like verbatim the speech that this one girl was giving about, how could you do this to Nick? You guys are all a bunch of cockroaches. Very upset about that. Out of all the people that, out of the three zombies this week, apparently they got killed by the fence, Nick was one of them.
So this was one of her friends. She's wondering the same thing we're wondering. How can you just kill these people so fast?
Yeah, and so we had poor Nick. Were you sad to see Nick go?
Yeah, I would have been if I had known who he was. Just another dead shirt. So
he was special.
I'm happy to move on.
Yeah. What's any significance to the new zombie that somebody on my Twitter called the hipster zombie in the ironic t-shirt? Yeah, that's from at the underscore Martin V calls him the hipster walker.
Oh, I missed that one. Which one was that?
One walker had like a very colorful t-shirt on.
I think I usually have only room in my brain for like one zombie an episode to remember after the episode, and mine was was the guy whose head was like going through the fence, if you remember that one.
That guy really wanted to get through the fence.
Yeah, he was ready to go. He wanted some rat.
He really wanted to get through there. And the other thing with Carol was then she was trying to tell Carl not to tell Rick what was going on. Did that make you like Carl more or less that he didn't do what Carol wanted him to do?
More. Definitely more.
More.
You know, Rick needs to know this kind of stuff, and it certainly made me like Carol less. I was disappointed with her.
Were you pumped up to see Rick back on the warpath now? Rick is back to the old Rick?
Yeah, I think so. I still wish that, you know, last week's story didn't happen. I wish that we'd kind of seen a little less Rick last week and you know, avoided that whole sculptures from Zimbabwe story. But I do like that he's back in the saddle. And I thought that this that scene with the pigs, I actually think that that was that's got to be one of the best scenes that the show's ever done. I really thought that was a really awesome scene.
Good camera work.
Yeah, good camera work, good acting. I thought Andrew Lincoln did a really good job. You could tell he was really upset, slicing these pigs up. My wife was very upset with the scene. She's a big animal lover, so I think that, you know, it triggered the responses that you're looking for. I thought that it was done really well. I really liked that scene.
Yeah, symbolically, Rick getting his face covered in the pig's blood.
Right.
What was your read on that?
I think that it's, you know, every no matter what he does, even when he's saving somebody else, somebody's getting killed. So I think, you know, it's just another reminder of all the blood he's got on his hands.
Yeah, and his face. Yeah.
And his face. And his mouth. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
All right, we're going to get to your questions in just a minute here. So make sure you get your questions in. Use hashtag RHAP on Twitter or put them on YouTube. Let's talk about Michonne here. Have you felt like that the writers and producers of the show have gone out of their way to sort of lighten up or brighten up Michonne's character this season?
Yeah, because I think she was so, you know, she was such a downer last season, all season long. And I think it would have been too much if, you know, all these months had passed between seasons and that was still how she was acting, that she was still all pouty and still so angry. I like her scenes with Rick and Carl a lot. I think it's a nice new side of her. But I don't think that we're too far removed from badass Michonne either.
Do you feel like she really botched the episode at the fence coming back in? It seemed like
What happened there? Did she twisted her ankle? I didn't even see how that happened.
It just seemed like it was a comedy of errors. I mean, she was up on her horse. She has her sword. She doesn't take the sword out at any point. She's like, all right, let me get off the horse. I think I'm going to go hand to hand with these zombies. And she was just like very slow to get the sword out of her thing. The old Michonne, I mean, why get off the horse? So I'm like, whoop, and then that's it.
It was pretty sloppy. It was definitely not her finest hour. We've seen her do some pretty cool stuff over the years. This was not that cool. This was pretty lame. She had to get bailed out by a 13-year-old kid. That's never fun.
Okay. All right. So how about Glenn and Maggie this week? No talk of the potential pregnancy, but how come Glenn and Maggie like get their own pad? Like they get their own clubhouse?
Well, Glenn's on the council, right? He's got some pull. And Herschel's on there, too. I think Herschel and Glenn are kind of maybe, abusing their power a little bit.
Yeah, everybody else has got to live in the crappy jail, but Glenn and Maggie, like, get their own apartment?
Maybe they're just too loud.
That might be the case.
Might be a group vote. Just get them out of there.
What do you think of Glenn's new hobby of amateur photography?
We didn't really get to see the result of it. I would have liked to have seen that picture. I'm sure the Walking Dead Instagram will have that up in an hour or two.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, keep an eye out.
So, and who is, like, is there a quarantine between Glenn and Maggie? They're not allowed to be around each other. Who was exposed and who wasn't? Glenn was and Maggie wasn't?
Yeah, I think Glenn was exposed. Maggie was outside. She was helping Michonne and Carl out. So Maggie was safe. Rick was in there. Glenn was in there. Herschel was in there. Daryl was in there. And I think that those are the main characters who were right in the middle of it. But yeah, so are those guys, they can't, you know, roam around the prison anymore? They have to be on lockdown?
I don't know. It's very unclear, very much how this is all going to work going forward. All right, so let me fire up Jessica Frey here, who's been monitoring your questions all through this episode tonight. And Jessica Frey, she just finished a marathon viewing of Walking Dead over these last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Jessica, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, what were you on tonight? Team Carl or Team Carol?
Oh, Team Carl, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like, I just like that Carl is, you know, he's getting to be more of a kid, and now he got his gun back. He learned his lesson, I think. Yeah.
No. Okay. All right, Jessica, do you have any questions for us from the Robinson Podcast audience?
Let's do this one.
All right, here we go. Let's fire away. Here's our first question of the night. And, Josh, we could go back and forth. I'll start with the first question.
Sure.
This is from John Waddell. Daryl wore gloves and a mask to dig graves, but then takes them off, and Rick tells his son to stay away, and then they talk at the end. Yeah, this is kind of what annoys me a little bit about this. That, okay, if they want to tell this story that there is some disease or some sickness going around that's making people sick and this is a new threat, I'm fine with that. I just wish they wouldn't be so willy-nilly over, okay, this person's not a main character, so they'll get sick and they'll die. But they didn't do anything different than our main people who do the same exact stuff.
Right. I think that there's just some of these people are wearing, you know, bulletproof vests given to them by the writers. You know, they're wearing these protective vests that the writers don't want to get these characters too sick. That being said, I still wouldn't say that Daryl's out of the clear. I think that they made a real point to show that handshake. I think I would still be worried about him. I bet that we're going to see, if not him, I'm sure we're going to see one of the main characters is going to be coming down with this cold pretty soon.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if it's an airborne thing, like, you can't just make it that only people we don't care about get it and everybody else is safe.
Well, you can. It just won't be very compelling.
Won't be very compelling. No. Let me ask you this, Josh.
Yeah.
Baby Judith, she threw up during the episode tonight. Do you think, is it possible Baby Judith could be next to go?
I really hope
little
not.
Little ass kicker.
I really hope not, because I like little ass kicker. I think that would be really tough to watch. And it finally seems like Rick is kind of getting it together, and this would just push him back into season 3 territory. So that, I really hope they don't go there.
Put him over the edge. You know, for those of you guys who listened to our podcast last week, Josh and I did our Walking Dead death pool. Amazingly, neither of us drafted tonight's death, Karen. Oh, my God.
Big whiff on our part, man. That should have been an obvious one.
All night long, though, I was excited because I thought that I had Karen, turns out I had Sasha.
No, we both get a goose egg on this one.
Okay, we'll see. And Baby Judith, neither of us drafted Baby Judith either. The thing for me that stood out was there was a line of dialogue that I think Beth said that basically said, like, well, they have a word for when you lose your husband and when you lose your parent, you're an orphan, but there's no word for when you lose your kid. And nobody's kid died in this episode. I just felt like that seemed a little shoehorned in there. For why is Beth talking about that?
Yeah, they might be trying to set us up for something. That would be pretty pretty low even for this show, but it could happen.
Because I don't think we're going to take Carl away, but I do think it is a little complicated to carry this baby around.
Yeah, I think that could be a quick fix to that storyline.
I think so. All right. Here's a question from Brian Scally. Shouldn't people like Daryl and a few others have keys and start locking the cells at night? So if someone turns into a zombie, an outbreak like this doesn't happen. Didn't they used to do that in the prison where they locked you in the jail cell?
Yeah, they did. I think that the point is they're getting complacent. You know, we had that whole 30 days without an incident thing that happened in the last episode. So I think that the sense that you're getting is these guys are just, they're feeling really safe, maybe too safe. So some of these, you know, precautions have kind of fallen by the wayside. But I would like to think that starting next week, they're probably going to be sleeping with their cells closed.
You got to sleep with the cell closed. Yeah, even if you put the key on the inside, that's fine too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, from Patrick Caro, hopefully this is not the Patrick from Walking Dead. How did Carol want that little girl to stab her father? Well, we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, that was outrageous. That was bad. That was just terrible.
A little outrageous.
Bad decision-making all around.
Devin Priestman said, did this episode sway you on Carol or no? I am very much anti-Carol, and yeah. I'm more firmly anti-Carol. Actually, if anything, this episode made me like Carol a little more. I really did not like Carol because she's really boring, but I thought this was at least interesting stuff for Carol to do.
Do you think that you are feeling good on Carol a little bit because she remembered to wish you a happy birthday today?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Josh, for your Carol birthday meme.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, but
I very much appreciate that. I also got on my Twitter, Devin Priester asked me, doesn't Carl know what snitches get? Yeah, is that fair? Should Carl get stitches for being a snitch on Carol, especially since she knows she's so adamant about carrying a knife at all times?
I think you have to lift that rule. First of all, I think you have to lift that rule when the thing you're not lying about or the thing that you're not, the secret you're trying to keep is just a dumb secret to begin with. That being said, given everything we've seen Carl do in the past, I would not bet against him in a fight against Carol. So I think he's fine.
Ooh, that could be a big rivalry this season, Carl versus Carol.
This island only has room for one Carol or Carl.
You can't spell Carol without Carl.
No, you can't.
This is from Juan Rivera, who says, look like the council has an immunity idol. Did you get any trouble during the council meeting? It seemed like they did have like a tiki in the middle of the table that they work on.
So in the technical rule book, who do you think owns the idol? You know, if they were to go to council, who would be the one who has ownership over the idol?
I don't know. Do you think that the people from Woodbury should have more representation on the council?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It seems a little imbalanced. Maybe there's a revolt. Maybe there's a little bit of a rebellion.
I think so. Maybe it's the Woodbury people. That's why they're doing this whole thing with the rats, because they want more representation on the council.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from Jason Parry. D'Angelo Barksdale and Cuddy, plus a season 4 plot involving children losing their innocence. Is this becoming The Wire dead?
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
Oh, I hope so, because The Wire season 4 was the best. If Walking Dead season 4 follows that, I'd be very happy.
And The Wire season 3 was about like all the corruption in like the mayoral race and everything.
That's
like
true.
That. Is that why we're bringing in the council storyline, that we're going to find out about all the corruption on the council storyline, and then also, kids are losing their innocence. Plus, here's what really goes into your food that you're eating in The Walking Dead.
Right. I'll be happy when Carcetti shows up.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. I think he'd run that place pretty well.
Should they turn the jail into Hamsterdam?
No. that would not work out. I think these guys, they need their wits about them.
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, keep the drugs out of it, maybe.
Okay, a couple more questions from Jason Parry. What is with the blonde girl whose boyfriend died last week? Are we headed for a real story with her? Why was she so cold last week, and what's going on with her now? Oh, that's Herschel's daughter.
Yeah, she was number two on my death draft. So I would say she's probably, yes, headed for a story, and it will end with her dead.
Oh, no.
That's my bet.
Yeah, why does she have to babysit all day?
I don't know. Everyone else is busy teaching knife classes or stabbing things through fences, and you know, she kind of maybe doesn't have the stomach for that stuff. I don't know.
Does Rick's baby sleep through the night? You would think that would be very... You would think you'd want to put Rick and this baby out in where Glenn and Maggie are sleeping.
Right, yeah. You think? Well, I think that you saw their quarters earlier in the episode, right? It seemed kind of empty in there.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got like the whole wing to himself.
What time does Rick wake up that he was up, really up and at them before the 6 a.m. alarm went off in Carl's room?
Yeah, he's an early riser. He's got to get to that early bird catches the worm on the farm sort of deal.
Yes, so.
Yeah.
Lizzie says, I'm sorry, Brian Scally says, Lizzie has been seen sympathizing with zombies. That's like Nick. Is it possible she was feeding them rats?
Oh.
Oh.
So Lizzie is the name of the other kid. That's interesting.
I don't know, though. It seems like, you know, why wouldn't you just throw them over the fence? This is more like teasing the zombies with the rats.
Right. Well, we've seen kids do stupid stuff with walkers before on the show. You know, there was that whole episode where Carl was throwing rocks at that walker that was stuck in the swamp, and then that zombie came and tore Dale apart. So there's certainly precedent for kids doing stupid stuff with zombies. I think that's actually pretty interesting. That's something I hadn't considered.
Josh, do you miss Dale?
Yeah, I do.
I miss Dale. There's nobody telling everybody that every single idea is a bad idea.
Here's a fun bit of trivia. Dale makes it a lot further in the comics, and he's the one who gets bit on the leg and gets his leg amputated, not Herschel. So that's what they could have done with Dale. It's a shame.
That's what they could have done. There's nobody to be like really question. I guess Rick has gotten to that point of like questioning the morality of everything they're doing. But
right.
Yeah. No, there's no whiner really left.
No. He was the resident whiner, and he's gone.
All right, and let's see. One more question. Sasha showed up from Brian Scally. Sasha showed us she does not hesitate to kill with the boot from the head. Is it possible she burned the infected bodies? Oh, yeah. And maybe Sasha thinks that this Karen ain't good enough for Tyrese.
Right, she was protecting her bro. You know, that's not a bad theory either. For as much as I like that character, we really don't know too much about Tyrese and Sasha and who they were before they met our group and who they were between seasons. And it certainly would be interesting to see her and Tyrese interact after he found out something like that. And she certainly knew what was going on with the disease. So she's definitely a suspect. I wouldn't be blown away by that.
Now, Karen is the woman that she survived at the end of season 3. She was the one survivor from when the governor went crazy and killed all his own people.
Yeah, so that's right.
So she lived another month just to get sick in the jail and then die.
That's basically it. Them's the breaks.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes you just you dodge one bullet and then you end up getting the flu.
Final destination.
Yeah, that's right. You can't cheat death.
You can't cheat death.
It'll get you eventually.
It's a all mother.
Right. Josh, what are we? What's our key thing we're looking forward to next week?
I'm going to be really interested to see the fallout of Tyrese. You know, he's a character that people who've been with Walking Dead for a long time, who've read the books, this character is someone that the fans really, really love, and it's looking like they're finally going to start giving him a meaty story to sink his teeth into. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out, to see what his whole investigation into what happened. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. So that's the big one I'm looking forward to next week.
All right. Well, Josh and I will be back with you next Sunday. We're actually going to move the time shift this a little bit. I think what we're going to do is live at 10:30 because we don't want to go up against the Talking Dead because, frankly, I want to see the Talking Dead, and then we can have a little few more answers for you guys, and then we could be much more interactive than they could ever be on that show when we go live at 10:30. So starting next Sunday, we'll be live at 10:30. We'll also have an audio feed of this podcast only on robhasawebsite.com. So go ahead and look for that in the show notes. I'm just waiting for us to get approved from iTunes. And of course, please leave us your comments on robhasawebsite.com and on the YouTube video because we want to hear from you guys and hear your theories as well.
Sounds good. I love it.
What do you think of that, Josh?
I think that's great. I think that's the way to go. I want to see some Chris Hardwick myself, so that's good.
All right. So, and as always, you could follow us all week long. I'm at Rob Cesternino on Twitter, and Josh is at Round Howard.
Yes, like Ron Howard, but rounder.
There you go. Yeah. All right. And if you want to hear more of Josh, that he appeared on Rob's podcast this week on the interview that I did with John Fincher this past Thursday. I heard people were loving you on the Survivor podcast.
Oh, that's great. I had a ton of fun. It was a good episode to talk about, too. I thought, you know how I felt about Aris. Not so great.
I heard people couldn't decide who they liked hearing from more this week, you or John Fincher.
Yeah, I heard it was close.
very close.
Yeah. Not a controversial episode at all.
You both had such popular opinions this week.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. All right. So check out Josh and all of our other Survivor bloggers all season long on robhasawebsite.com. And until next week, everybody, we will talk to you later. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.